Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we delve into the Word of God. We also have a TV program that airs following this broadcast at 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the Bible. We have completed the Old Testament, and we're in the New Testament. We're in the book of 2 Peter, and we will conclude this short book by looking at the context of chapter number 3. One of the problems that was really causing a great concern to early Christians that the apostles and the biblical writers dealt with in the New Testament was concerning the second coming of Christ. And again, that's a subject that causes great problems for many today because there's so much misinformation and unscriptural teaching done concerning that subject, but that is the subject of the last chapter of the book of 2 Peter. As we begin, we want to look at verse 1. It says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminding." Again, he just reminds them that he's writing this to stir up their memory so they can remind them of things that he had previously taught them. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Now again, he reminds them that the words of the prophets were those things that were written in the Old Testament, and then by the commandments that they received by the apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse number 3, he begins a discourse concerning the second coming of Christ. He says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, Peter says that scoffers will come in the last days. We live in the last days. We read that in Acts chapter 2, in verse 17, and we also read it in Hebrews chapter 1, and verse number 1, these are the last days. These are the last dispensation of time. And it says, in the last days, scoffers will come, working according to their own lust. Now, scoffers are those who are skeptical and do not believe the things that are written. Now, what are some of the things that they will say when they're walking according to their own lust? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Now again, their attitude is, when is he coming? He said he was coming, and from the beginning, from when all the fathers fell asleep, the early prophets, up until that period of time, that all things continue as from the beginning. Well, they were wrong about that. All things have not continued as they were from the beginning. And Peter is going to remind them from that. Verse 5 says, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of the God of the heavens were of old an earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." Now he reminds them that there's something that they willfully forgot, that the God of heaven, who created the world out of water and separated the waters in the creation account, Genesis 1 verse 2, also flooded the world with water and destroyed the known world, and the world perished except the 8 souls that were in the ark. And then when the ark was opened over a year later, then the world began again with the 8 people who came out of the ark, and so the world began anew. And so all things have not continued as they were from the beginning. There was a time when God destroyed the world with water and gave a rainbow that he promised never to destroy the world again with water. But things have not continued as they were from the creation of time. And just because the Lord hasn't come yet doesn't mean that he's not coming. In verse 7 says, But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, and reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Now, the word of God sustains this world and everything living in it. And it's going to be reserved for fire on the day of judgment and the perdition and the judgment of ungodly men. That's going to be the destruction of ungodly men. And the world is reserved until that day when fire and judgment is going to come upon the ungodly world. Now, there are many who deny this, but listen to what Peter says. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, that doesn't mean that every day on earth represents 1,000 years to the Lord, or 1,000 years in heaven represent a day. He's using an analogy. He's showing that time has no meaning to God. The passage of years, the passage of centuries have no meaning to God. God is not regulated by time. Time is something that our lives are regulated by. It has no place with God. God does not work in time because he is eternal. But just because it's been a long time since the Lord left and he hasn't returned, don't let the amount of time cause us to worry that he's not coming again. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, the Lord's going to keep his promise. In John 14, he told the apostles, I'm coming back again. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, when he ascended back to the Father, the angel said that he's coming in like manner. And Acts 17 says that he's coming in judgment. He's going to come in judgment of the world, Acts 17, 31. And he's long-suffering towards us. That's why he allows time to continue, to give time, men time to repent, to give my men time to repent and to prepare for his coming. Why? Because he doesn't wish any should perish. God doesn't want any to be lost in the end. He wants all men to be saved, but they must come to repentance. They must turn away from sin, and they must live a different type of life. But then in verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Now notice, the day of the Lord, this means a day of judgment. And he'll come as a thief in the night. What does that mean? That means unexpectedly. You don't know, I don't know, nobody knows when the Lord is going to return. But when he comes, he's not coming to set up a kingdom. He's not coming to live on the earth for 1,000 years. He's not coming to purify the earth by getting all the evil off of it like he did in the days of Noah, like some religious people teach, and that he's going to destroy the impurities of sin and of evil with fire like he did with water in the days of Noah. No, that's a misteaching. This text says that the heavens will pass away. The heavens and the earth will pass away. All the elements, the earth is made up of elements. And it says the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And both the earth and all the works, everything that's been created and everything in it is going to be burnt up. It's going to be destroyed. When the Lord returns, he's going to destroy that which he created. He made the world to be a temporary home for mankind. And when he created it, he also has the power to destroy it. And in the end, he's going to destroy it. He's not going to establish a kingdom on earth. He's already done that. He's ruling and reigning in heaven in a spiritual kingdom. He's not coming here to establish a kingdom. He's coming here for judgment, the judgment of all men, and the resurrection of all those who have perished, and to judge all men according to the deeds that they've done. And at that time, he's going to destroy the earth and everything that was created in it. Now, listen to verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of conduct ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, since these things are going to happen, you need to prepare yourself. You need to practice holy conduct. You need to live godly. You need to make that your manner of life. So when this time comes, it does not catch you unprepared. These are not figurative speeches. This is what literally is going to happen. This world's going up in smoke, and God tells us to prepare for that we might not be caught unawares. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The heavens and the elements of the earth, all the things that God created, are going to be destroyed with fire. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. That new heaven and new earth is not this earth. It is a new dwelling place. That is figurative language that means a new dwelling place. We're going to have a new dwelling place. That dwelling place is going to be God's home. It's going to be heaven. Read Revelation 21 and 22. God is going to invite us to come to his home, to be part of his family in his home in heaven. But we have to prepare for that. And we must give an account before that ever takes place. We're going to be judged according to the things that we've done. It says, therefore. Now, therefore is offering a conclusion by what he's just said. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. He says, understand that these things are going to happen. Use the time that God gave you wisely. Prepare for this day. Prepare for your death. God's long-suffering is giving you time to prepare. Make the right decisions prior to the destruction of the earth. Now, in verse 16, he says, and also in all epistles, speaking of in them these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. Now, there are some things in the Bible that are harder to understand than others. There are things written that you've got to do a little bit more study. You've got to do a little bit more digging. But it didn't say that they were impossible to understand. It said it was hard to understand. And people who are unstable, and people who are untaught, people that don't have proper Bible knowledge, people that don't have proper biblical understanding, can be deceived by unstable people who twist the scriptures to their own destruction, as they do many of the other scriptures. The religious world is full of men and women who twist the scriptures, and they're doing it to their own destruction and all who follow them. Therefore, beloved brethren, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness of the wicked. He's warned us. Why should we not fall prey to this, that we might not be lost because we're deceived? But how can we protect ourselves that we might not be deceived, that we might not be misled, that we might be caught unprepared? Listen to the last verse of this book. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory and honor now and forever. The way that you protect yourself, ladies and gentlemen, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2 taught us that grace teaches us, in verse 12, to die ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age. The knowledge of God will help us make good decisions, good choices. It will help us prepare for this final judgment when we'll give an account of the life that we lived. Peter is warning them and warning us that there is going to be a day of destruction. And that destruction is going to be done on the world when the Lord returns to judge the world and to redeem the righteous and to punish the wicked. Which group will you be in, my dear friend? Will you be one who's prepared to meet his Lord and spend eternity with him in heaven? Or you will be one who will be destroyed from the everlasting presence of God in an eternal hell? That decision is entirely in your hands. Please give it great thought, because God loves you and doesn't wish any to perish. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.